This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. Happy Friday here on ESPN 580. It is like Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580 Orlando with Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz. We're broadcasting from our Victory Casino Cruises studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. Coming up in just a minute here, we'll get to the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take you through the day's sports conversation. Right now, I want to get the Orlando Dodge question of the night out there. Father's Day is Sunday. If you're lucky enough for your father to still be here, please make sure you give him a call, tell him you love him, that whole thing. We want to get into it on the sports side of things here. Who are the best father-son sports duos in history? So think about like Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr., Cal Ripken.
Can you do multiple sons?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, I think so. I think I'm going to ruin this for 6:30. But I mean, like, yeah. Archie Manning, yeah, and the two Manning brothers. So I mean, we want to get your thoughts on those at 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. Quick update as well, because we are watching this news, and we're going to get to this at 6:30 as well, on the growing momentum that the Boston Celtics are going to trade the number one pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers currently hold the number three pick in the NBA draft. That is next Thursday. You'll hear coverage live here on ESPN 580. Of course, the Celtics have the number one pick. The momentum as of right now is that Philly is waiting on medical information on Markelle Fultz, who is projected to be that number one pick, but in deep talks into acquiring that number one pick as well. Sam Amick of USA Today tweeting, sense from involved parties in Boston Philly talks is C's are all in, that being the Celtics. Checking physicals, poised to give number one for a package centered around the number three pick. I can't wait to tear into this. I'm so excited about this.
It's so confusing to me because didn't I just listen to them tell me how they were in 100% on the Simmons project?
Yes. Yes, you did.
So
Brett Brown talks about
this.
I'm going to try to find that as well. Brett Brown was on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast like 3 months ago, and not 3 months ago, at the end of the NBA season, like mid-April.
And haven't the Colangelos had enough number one picks? Do they need another one?
The Colangelos haven't been there long.
I understand.
I mean, like, they haven't been there long.
Okay.
You mean Philly?
The team that they are now running.
Yes.
Has had enough number one picks over the past couple years?
I don't think so, actually. I mean, like, it was Embiid number one?
I thought Embiid was number
one. I don't think Embiid was one.
Was he two?
They've had a bunch of top three picks.
Okay.
They have. They did not have the
number
one pick.
Seems greedy to me.
Why? Like, if you can move up, move up. If you love Markelle Fultz and you
know
can
why
move
I
up,
hate this?
Move up.
Because every time the Celtics get involved with some other team, they win.
Yes, they do.
And they're going to win on this one, too.
And you can't blame Trader Danny for trying here. They took Ben Simmons number 1 in 16. Jahlil Okafor went 3 in 2015. In 2014, Joel Embiid was the third pick as well. Okay. Like, they haven't, like, during this whole kind of this whole hinky trust the post process thing, they've never gotten the number 1 pick.
Sniffed at it.
Oh yeah. I mean, heck, they've had two number threes and a number one, and now they could end up with a number one in the second straight year here if they can trade up. More on that coming at 6:30. Let's get to the Daily Rewind.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
Tonight's ESPN Rewind brought to you by our friends at Victory Casino Cruises, your only source for real Vegas action with an ocean view. Visit the boat at VictoryCasinoCruises.com. Let's start in the morning. Mike and Mike at 6 a.m. on ESPN 580 today. Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic discussing the NCAA's punishment of Louisville and Rick Pitino.
Is there a MMA purist out there who is going to stop watching those fights because stop watching that sport?
That would be the wrong cut. Excuse me. Let's go to now Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic talking about Rick Pitino.
And can somebody give Bob some
That also would be Draymond Green as well from earlier today at the victory parade. So clearly my my audio source here is all messed up. Here we go.
Louisville could be at risk of losing its 2013 men's basketball title as part of sanctions that were handed down by the NCAA yesterday following an investigation into the school's alleged sex-for-pay scandal. Is it possible that the people at the top, that Patino and his top assistants, because this guy Andre McGee wasn't a top assistant.
No, it was not.
That the people knew that there were parties going on, but they didn't know that the parties had gone to the place where this had gone.
There's no doubt that, you know, you just know parties.
That's what I'm saying.
Happened.
I mean, are there levels of knowing without knowing?
Here's the deal. If you told me this happened once, twice,
right,
I may let that slide. 4 years of it happening intermittently during that time? No. Not me. I don't believe it. Not for 4 years.
That would be Mike Greenberg, Mike Golic on the NCAA's sanctions against Louisville. Of course, Rick Pitino and that pay-for-sex scandal a couple of years ago. Jerry, you and I talked about this yesterday just a little bit, and the fact that Rick Pitino may have kind of avoided any kind of punishment once again, or at least he saved his job. Is there any part of you that thinks Rick Pitino did not know about these parties?
No.
Me either. 100%.
Okay. And the funny thing is I'm two-sided on this. One, I don't know how bad it is, because I swear to God, it's been happening for generations, and it probably is still happening now. But he's got such a track record, and he's such a despicable human being, that just fire him, Louisville. Make it clean. Just get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to fire
him. He's going to get a job.
Well, he's going to get a job somewhere, right? Because like some middling school, right? I mean, like, hey, a guy like Pitino gets fired, and he's after that kind of a scandal. Look at my University of South Florida. I mean, like, why would you not hire a guy like that and say, hey, Slick Rick, I want him to hire Larry Brown. Do whatever you want. We just want to win basketball games.
If UCF didn't have such a great coach, I would have looked at him here, too.
You hear the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts weekdays at 10 here on ESPN 580. Today, Dan and Stu talking about LeBron James and the fallout after the finals loss and his legacy.
You do realize how close LeBron James is to being 1-7 in the finals, right?
Very close. He's a lot closer to 1-7 than 7-1, yes.
Maybe the biggest shot in basketball history by Ray Allen.
Yep.
And one of the top 10 shots in basketball history, Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Shots by other people are the only thing that keep him from being 1-7.
Right.
Now, if he were 1-7, he would be no less great to me than he is at 3-4. He's still the best basketball player I've ever seen. But the margin on... We started having a conversation about LeBron James versus Michael Jordan this year for the first time. And we were having that conversation only because two other guys made shots.
That is the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. It begins weekdays at 10 a.m. here on ESPN 580. It is funny. We're a results-based society, right, Jerry? So Jordan's 6-0 in the finals. He has 6 rings. Yeah, Bill Russell has 11, but we believe that Jordan is a greater player than Bill Russell. It's not just the number, though we take titles into account. The fact that Jordan is undefeated in the NBA Finals seems to be the biggest sticking point for people that believe Jordan is the greatest NBA player of all time. LeBron now has been to 8 finals. He's 3-5, and as you heard Dan Le Batard say there, he's so close to being 1-7. You think about Kyrie's 3 in Game 7 last year. You think about that Ray Allen shot as well. Yet, it doesn't take away from how talented this guy is, but everyone continues to look for some kind of a metric to measure LeBron against Jordan. A lot of that because when he was a rookie coming in, we thought this was going to be the next Jordan. I don't know if LeBron ever surpasses Jordan in everybody's mind, mostly because he's already lost these 5 finals. We are kind of a results-based society, and you see Jordan 6-0, LeBron 3-5. It doesn't matter if he's been to 2 finals more than Jordan at this point of his career at all. It doesn't matter.
You're a little inconsistent, though. When we threw this exact conversation around last year with Tom Brady on the fact that he's had so many lost Super Bowls.
Right.
You were like, that doesn't count. It's how many times you've been there. And now this kind of flips.
Yeah, I mean, like, I put LeBron right up there with Jordan. I'd like to see LeBron and how his career finishes. Here's really how I feel. We can't make the determination yet. You're getting a finished product with Jordan and a not finished product with LeBron. We gotta put a lot of this on hold right now and wait to see how LeBron's career finishes out. Like, let's say that he makes it to another 2 finals and loses and ends up, you know, I don't know, like 3, and what would that make him? 3-7 in 10 finals. It's great to make it to him, but in those other situations, was he the favored team? How did he perform? I think there's a lot of questions left. I think that when LeBron ends up walking away from the game, we're going to consider him the greatest of all time, but he's not done yet. Brady already has more Super Bowl wins than Montana does. We can already say Brady's the greatest of all time, but I don't know if LeBron's ever going to get to 6. He's most certainly not going to make it to 11, and we kind of judge things in basketball differently than we do in football. The Ryan Russillo Show on from 1 to 4 here on ESPN 580. Today, ESPN NBA draft analyst Chad Ford. I'm actually, because we're going late here, okay, because we wanted to talk more about the Celtics pick. I want to play this cut from NBA draft analyst Chad Ford today from ESPN coming up next, because as I said, momentum is growing about the Celtics perhaps trading the number one overall pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. Why? Chad Ford talked about it a little bit earlier today, and we'll talk about that coming up next year. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580, broadcasting from our Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. Welcome back to the show. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Runowitz, Nicky Football. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Coming up in about a couple of minutes, we're gonna continue discussing this breaking news today, the rumors that the Philadelphia 76ers engaged in advanced talks to acquire the number one overall pick in next week's NBA draft from the Boston Celtics, and how this could affect the Orlando Magic. I'll tell you how that could affect the Magic, who, of course, have the number six pick in the NBA draft coming up here in just a minute. Here's a quick update on the U.S. Open playing up in Erin Hills, Wisconsin. Brooks Koepka, has taken the overall lead at 8-under through 13 holes. Ricky Fowler has hit a rough patch here. Ricky at 6-under. He at one point in time was 9-under. He's 1-over on the day through 13 as well. Paul Casey currently tied for second place with Tommy Fleetwood at 7-under. Brian Hartman, Ricky Fowler as well, and Ricky Fowler tied for fourth place. Siwoo Kim is 5-under with Xander Schauffele and Cameron Champ, as well as Jamie Lovemark and Hideki Matsuyama. J.B. Holmes there as well, and Patrick Reed. A huge logjam tied at 6-under as well, but Ricky Fowler has hit a rough patch here on the back nine.
By the way, we had Brian Moore on with us from Golf Now yesterday, and he texted me. He should have said it on air, but he texted me his sleeper was Paul Casey.
He said that on the air.
He told us Paul Casey
on the air. Yeah, I believe he said Paul Casey, and well, I have the paperwork because I wrote the name down. I believe Paul Casey was a guy he mentioned as someone who could make some noise. So right now, he's looking good on that prediction. Paul Casey just a shot back. He's done for the day at 1-under, 7-under overall for the tournament. But Brooks Koepka has a chance to extend the league. He's 3-under on the day through 13, 8-under for the tournament. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also, Orlando Dodge question of the night. I feel like I'm all over the place so far. Father's Day is Sunday. In honor of Father's Day, who are some of the greatest father-son duos in sports history? Think about Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. Someone has already texted in Dale Sr. and Dale Jr. You can get those to us at 21232. Also on the phone at 844-225-5580. So the news today breaking at just about 5 o'clock this afternoon. The Philadelphia 76ers engaged in advanced talks to acquire the number one overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft. That is next Thursday. You'll hear it live right here on ESPN 580. That number one pick would come from the Boston Celtics. Philly would presumably draft point guard Markelle Fultz out of Washington. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that in a proposed deal with Boston, this is what I want to know. What is Philly giving up, right? What is Philly giving up to move from 3 to 1? And what are the Celtics going to get in moving down two spots? Because you're not just going to get the number three pick. You're going to have to get some other things with it as well. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Celtics would get that number three pick from Philly in a package that includes a future first from the Sixers. Philly's 2018 unprotected first round pick that was acquired in the Lakers has been part of the discussions as well. So this could be like another top five pick next year. Yeah. For Boston.
Yeah.
So if you're Danny
Ainge,
good are the Lakers going to be, right? Unless they make a deal, let's say, for Paul George, and you're Danny Ainge, you're looking at how bad the Lakers are going to be. You get the number three this year and the Lakers number one next year, let's say, and you already have that Brooklyn pick swap. So next year, Boston could once again be a top two seed in the Eastern Conference and be picking first and fifth, let's say, in the NBA draft.
If I'm Boston, though, I'm scheduling out, because while they're fat now, they...
You're scheduling out?
Yeah, I'm not looking for a 2018 draft pick. I'm looking for a 19, 20, 21, 22.
From who? From Philly?
From I'm gauging the team out I'm partnering with and trying to figure out how quickly that pick's going to be worthless. But yeah, I'm forecasting out and I'm trying to get something a little bit more out. I mean, they're so stacked right now.
They are. They are, and a lot of the question here, though, is whether or not they're going to be able to make a long-term commitment to Isaiah Thomas after that hip injury that caused him to miss the rest of the playoffs after two games with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Which also begs the question, a lot of talk between Fultz's people and Isaiah Thomas's people, because
right.
they have a long-term relationship. The two know each other. They have
both
history.
Went to Washington.
They both went to Washington. So maybe if you're going to trade Isaiah, you head him over to Philly.
If you're going
to
trade
with Fultz, if they're going to pick Fultz, maybe maybe that solves the Thomas problem.
Yeah, this signifies to me, though, that Boston doesn't think that Isaiah Thomas and Markelle Fultz can play on the same team, right? Because they're both point guards, and
they
both project to be point guards. Isaiah Thomas is, of course, and I don't know if Boston's going to give a long-term commitment to Isaiah Thomas anyway, just because of his size and because of the hip injury. Don't forget, this is a hip injury that cost Johnny Flynn his career. Johnny Flynn was really good at basketball. Like, people talk about him as being a bust. He was really good. He's a bust because of the injury. That being said, so Boston would move back to three. What the Lakers do at number two is a very interesting question a week from now. Do they take Lonzo Ball? Do they take somebody else?
Yeah, they seem to be casting a lot of smoke.
There's
right
a
now.
Lot of smoke right now. Let me quickly get to this, because this does not come as a huge surprise to some people in the industry. That would be the NBA industry, because ESPN's Chad Ford was talking about the fact that Boston was high on Kansas guard Josh Jackson, who we believe he would be taken with the number three pick. Earlier today on the Ryan Russillo Show, here is ESPN NBA draft analyst Chad Ford.
A lot of speculation around Josh Jackson. He fits the mold that Danny Ainge has consistently drafted throughout his career. Toughness, athleticism, ability to defend, length, motor, a lot of the characteristics and mental makeup of a prospect look like Josh Jackson more than other players.
That's ESPN NBA insider Chad Ford on the Ryan Russillo Show earlier today. You can catch the Ryan Russillo Show 1-4 on ESPN 580. And that's kind of the question. If you're moving down to number three, obviously Boston doesn't like Markelle Fultz number one or first overall on their board. They like a guy like Josh Jackson or somebody else, which would be an interesting pick for them, because Josh Jackson would be a scoring option. It means you're staying with Isaiah Thomas. And that team kind of continues to build from there, and you go out and you try to add through free agency with Gordon Hayward. Now, how could this affect the Orlando Magic? It's very interesting, because here's the big question. Let's say that you trade the number one pick, and people believe that this is going to happen, and Philly takes Markelle Fultz with that number one pick, and the Lakers at number two do not take Lonzo Ball. Let's say they take Josh Jackson at number two. And that's not out of line. I've seen reports that the Lakers do like Josh Jackson, that he's headed up the draft boards. Let's say the Lakers take Josh Jackson at number two. What do the Celtics do? Because they've already passed on who everyone believes is the better point guard in the draft. That would be Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Do they take Lonzo Ball? It feels as if they're out on point
I'm
guard in this
you, they're
draft.
They're not going to be in the three spot. There's another team involved.
There could be. There could be. You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. I'm not seeing that in any of these reports yet. Could it be the Kings? Yes, but I mean, if I'm Boston and I'm giving up on one, I better be getting a King's ransom then. I better be getting a King's ransom, no pun intended. Now, some reports I've seen indicate that that's what Danny Ainge is looking for. He's looking for kind of a Brooklyn Nets type of
he's
deal where he could fleece
Brooklyn
somebody.
Nets.
Yeah, he's looking for his next victim, right? Danny is looking for his next victim here to kind of fleece. And
I don't think that's Philly.
I don't think it is either. I don't think it is, because I think Philly's going to be good.
But
at
that's
some
what's
point.
So scary about this to me is, and that's why the noise about Simmons kind of lends credence to this whole thing, is because why would have they brought up that story about Simmons? The reason why they brought up the story about Simmons was because rumors are starting to leak that they were looking at a point guard possibly in a trade
for
a pick.
Who brought up the story about Simmons? What do you mean?
It's coming out of Philly.
that Simmons wants to be, that they're going to run Simmons as a point guard.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a story. Like, that's
no, but it started to mull through the Philly newspapers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Why would that start to bubble?
I feel like I've talked about that once a week throughout the NBA season because I don't know if Ben Simmons is a point guard, right?
This particular week, they floated the story out there. Someone's floating that story. And the reason why they're floating it is because they didn't want anybody to know what they were up to, and that is they're going after Fultz.
Here's how this could affect the
Orlando Magic. Too.
Let me quickly get to this. I believe Adrian Wojnarowski as well, that you know, in everything he reports, he's probably the most credible reporter that I follow, at least just kind of reading something, I automatically believe it, and probably that confirmation bias is a bad thing for someone like me to have. But let's say the Lakers take Josh Jackson at 2 and Boston's at 3, and I understand they might not be at 3. Do they take Lonzo Ball despite being out on point guard, or do they take, let's say, Jason Tatum from Duke? Because right now, many people that I talk to feel as if the order of this draft is Fultz 1, Ball 2, Josh Jackson 3, De'Aaron Fox 4. Sacramento reportedly really likes Dennis Smith Jr. out of North Carolina State at 5, which would leave the Magic with Jason Tatum. Could it be that this type of a trade changes things and the Magic do not end up with a guy like Jason Tatum and instead they're looking at somebody else? Ball doesn't fall past Phoenix in my mind. Phoenix loves Lonzo Ball. I've seen that at number 4.
That's his dad's worst nightmare.
I think it is. I think it would be great.
Oh my God.
I think it would be incredible, but it would be a dream for Phoenix is it Booker? Is that the kid? Yeah.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. That's the kid. Yeah, with Devin Booker and Lonzo Ball on the break, that would be a ton of fun to watch. But for Orlando, the thing to watch here, and also, hey, Magic, like, you want to get involved here? Why not? Like, you can get involved and move up or get a couple of assets. Like, I wouldn't put it past John Hammond and Jeff Weltman to get involved here somehow.
Oh, they're involved
and
now.
Try to move around. Yeah, they're talking to a lot of teams, I think, whether they're at 6 or not. But if Jason Tatum, let's say, all of a sudden goes number 3 and Lonzo Ball falls to 4, then you're looking at perhaps at 6. All of a sudden, like, maybe De'Aaron Fox is available. Like, someone might fall here. That this could work out well for Orlando. 844-225-5580.
Maybe a chance at Monk, too.
Here's what Magic fans should be rooting for, all right? I'm going to tell you. Chaos. Root for chaos. Yeah. As much movement as possible.
Someone's going to drop.
Someone will drop, yes. And there's a ton of good players. Don't let anybody make you believe that this is just a five-player draft. Every team right now, the Magic have 6. Fans are saying, oh, it's a 5-player draft. Kings have number 5. People in Sacramento, it's a 4-player draft. You know, the Knicks, they have 8. Oh, it's a 7-player draft. There's plenty of solid players in this draft. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. Coming up next, we get to the Orlando Dodge question of the night. Father's Day is Sunday. Who are some of the greatest father-son duos in sports history? You can get in touch with us at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580. Nick, and at the Jerry Daniels. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580, broadcasting from our Victory Casino Cruises studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. We're going to get to the Orlando Dodge question of the night here in just a moment. Who are some of the greatest father-son duos in sports history? Father's Day, of course, this Sunday. If you have the time, actually make the time this weekend. Give your father a call and talk to him in honor of Father's Day. You should be doing that anyway. It should just not be one day a year. But, of course, your father is not always going to be around, so make sure you do it.
Not everybody's dad brings, like, hero music and fans and everything to your
remotes.
My
father did that, yes. My father did that when I was at Twin Peaks like 3 weeks ago. He brought some friends down and they hung up. It was very nice. Let's get to this. We're going to get to the Orlando Dodge question tonight about the greatest father-son duos in sports. One more quick update here as well from Sam Amick of USA Today about this potential trade between the Celtics and the 76ers at the number one pick. Sam Amick tweets, Philly-Boston deal is not done yet. All kinds of momentum and enough to have Markelle Fultz planning to meet with the Sixers when or if they agree. Fultz was supposed to visit with the Boston Celtics tomorrow. But apparently that visit now is on hold and he could be going to Philly instead if Philly can trade for that number one pick. And I do kind of like this trade for Philly. I really do. Like, I like this for Philadelphia. You move up. It's anti-process. Right? Like, I think Sam Hinkie would just keep his assets and stay there at number three and take the best guy available and take Josh Jackson and say, we're going to figure this out. This is where the difference between Sam Hinkie and Brian Colangelo, this is kind of where I think you're going to see the fork in the road, Jerry, is Brian Colangelo is going to go all in here for a guy that he really likes, and it could be Markelle Fultz, and it could work out well for Philly. But you put him on that team, and Ben Simmons now isn't your point guard. He's your, let's say, three or four, and you've got Joel Embiid out there as well. This team starts to get really interesting with Dario Saric too. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Who are some of the greatest father-son duos in sports history? Jerry, I'll let you start out on this one. Who comes to mind?
I mean, we led with it. I mean, I'm a little partial because I got a chance to meet both of them. Ken Griffey Sr. lived in Orlando for years. I don't know if you remember, but right there off of Interstate 4, near Universal Studios, there was a Griffey's Bar there forever. Probably 10, 15 years, Griffey's Bar was there. I don't know if it was open for that entire duration, but it was right there next to Delta, the resort. And so got a chance to meet Ken Griffey Sr. several times. And then Junior just found himself in Central Florida as a result. Now, there was always a kind of hit-or-miss relationship there, but a lot of famous father-son baseball duos coming out of Central Florida. We also had Prince and Cecil Fielder in Central Florida as well.
We did.
So we had a couple that, and we also had Frank Viola and his son were good, and then also had, not Puckett, who's the, Tim Raines Jr. Yeah. and Tim Raines Sr. Okay. Yeah, so you had a couple good baseball duos.
There's a lot
right out of Central Florida.
There's a lot of them right out of Central Florida. Of course, non-Central Florida ones, you think of Bobby and Barry Bonds when it comes to baseball. You mentioned Griffey Sr. and Griffey Jr. as well. Baseball does seem to have quite a few of them. Non-baseball, and we're getting a few via the text here as well at 21232. And this one I don't think is going to jump out every. What about Del Curry and Steph Curry? You know, Dell spent all those years playing with the Charlotte Hornets, and now, of course, Steph is putting his imprint on the game as well.
That might be one of the best basketball ones, actually.
It might be. I've said this many times, Dell Curry is living the life that I think we all expected Michael Jordan to live, right? Like, Dell Curry had a very nice NBA career. I'm not saying from an NBA career side for the father, but we expected Michael Jordan to kind of retire and then one of his kids to be great players, too. You just do that. You do the comparison thing. Okay, you're Michael Jordan's son. You're going to be awesome at basketball, too. And Del Curry is kind of getting to sit there and watch his son be an awesome basketball player. Like, Steph and Del both kind of carbon copies of each other when it comes to the shooting ability. That's one of the ones that sticks out in basketball history to me, and one that we are getting via the text here at 21232. 844-225-5580 is the phone number as well. Orlando Dodge question of the night here on Live Local and Loudies. Jerry Daniels, I'm Nick Grunowitz. It is the greatest sports father-son duos in history.
The Griffies are working on third generation now.
You're right.
Dr. Phillips, he was a receiver.
Here's what
I don't know why that man just did not talk his son out of avoiding football, but anyways. Mm-hmm.
They're working on... Yeah, his son plays football, right?
Yeah.
Griffey's
son. He's a wide
does.
Receiver for Dr. Phillips Panthers.
Yeah, but...
He's not now,
he's in college now, right?
Yeah,
he's at Notre Dame? Is he at Notre Dame?
Yeah, but I knew... I followed him when he was there
at
Dr.
Okay.
Phillips.
Okay, that's what you're saying. Let's go to the phone lines. Randy is in Deltona. Randy, you're up first here, the leadoff man on Live, Local, and Loud. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me on.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to throw this one out there. I'm not sure if there's another tandem, but how about Chris and Howie Long being Super Bowl champions and Howie Long being a Hall of Famer?
That's a great one. That's a really good one, Randy. And I think, you know, and Howie as well. I mean, he's on the Fox set every week, too. So we're reminded of Howie every single week, and you see his kids play every week, too. And don't forget about, you said Chris. Yeah, Chris is his son. Isn't that? There's
Chris
one more.
Long, yeah.
There's one more Long son, isn't there?
I'm not certain, but I know I was trying to rattle my brain, but as far as Super Bowl champions, I know Chris Long just won one with the Patriots, right?
Yeah, he did.
And Howie had a couple rings, but I think there is another boy out there.
Yeah, Kyle.
I'm not certain.
Kyle, he plays for the Bears. Yeah, Kyle, he plays for the Bears as well. So That's a good one. And when we think about football as well, Chris, appreciate the phone call, 844-225-5580. The Mannings come to mind immediately, right?
Like, yeah, Archie, I would Manning. Say my biggest one for football is the Mannings.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, I'd say it's Griffey. We still have so many more out of Central Florida. We mentioned the Violas. We mentioned the Reigns. Doc and Austin Rivers out of Central Florida as well.
How about that? And how about the fact you get to watch one coach the other too, which is awesome.
Yeah, and then if I was to go the other two sports we haven't brought up, I would say Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Jr. has got to be.
That one's on the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, you and I both love Mount Rushmore stuff here, and I feel like I just happened to.
Which is hilarious, considering that when I went to Mount Rushmore, it was one of the most. There's two things in life that disappointed me when I got to them.
I've never been there. Is it a bummer?
It's a bummer. That was number one bummer, and number two was going to Disneyland the first time. Which, by the way, Disneyland is beautiful. But the first time you see Snow White's castle, you're like, why is there a split level ranch at the end of the street? It is so small.
California.
Yeah, in California.
I think
the other one's Bobby and Brett Hull.
Hull, yeah, from hockey. Yeah. That it might be the.
That's Rushmore, too.
Yeah, it is. The only tandem on the list that includes two Hall of Famers, actually.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, that might change in the future because, you know, Peyton Manning's. Is Archie in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No.
The thing is, like, Archie's famous, but Archie was his team's lost when he was in New Orleans.
But he had a good career. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have someone on Mount Rushmore from football. That's the problem. Because if I'm going to go Mount Rushmore, I have two race car guys.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. The Andretti's have to be on the mountain as well.
Oh, I don't know about that, really.
In their world, Andretti's were massive. Michael and Mario Andretti?
I want to stay with this. We want your phone calls at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Father's Day on Sunday. Some of the greatest father-son duos in sports history. Bobby and Brett Hull just mentioned a couple of Hart Trophy winners. We'll get you more on our list coming up next, as well as some of the NBA news of the day. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.